He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now.
All right, I'm Drew Berquist. This is my show. We hope you had a great weekend. It's Monday. Here we are. We're getting started, and we're glad to be with you. Got a short week. Reminder, we are off Thursday and Friday this week. Just wanted to put that back out there for you guys to remember. But we're damn glad to be with you today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Got plenty to talk on this week, and we'll start here. And we'll just do this quick because I want to touch on Rittenhouse briefly. I want to touch on Joe and Cam and several other things. But Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC said over the weekend that Americans can afford to pay the higher prices that we're all paying as inflation crushes our country, our economy this holiday season. This was the scene. Take a look.
And Stephanie joins me now live. Steph, it's great to see you. As you say, inflation's over 6%, numbers we haven't seen in more than 30 years. So how much higher can these prices go, and when do you see them coming down?
Well, listen, Willie, nobody knows exactly when they're going down, but you have to put all this in perspective. This inflation is not in isolation, and the government predicted it was going to be a challenging recovery, all tied to COVID. So it's why you see things like that expanded child tax credit. You've got the families of over 60 million kids on average getting $430 a month. For people on fixed incomes, older people on Social Security, they're getting those fixed payments adjusted next year up 5.9% for inflation. And the dirty little secret here, Willie, while nobody likes to pay more, on average, we have the money to do so. Household savings hit a record high over the pandemic. We didn't really have anywhere to go out and spend. And as we said a moment ago, we're expecting retail sales this holiday season to break records. For those who own their homes, the value of our homes are up. And while the stock market isn't the economy, you got over half of American households with some investment in the markets, and the markets have hit record highs. So we need to put all of this in perspective. This time last year, when you and I were talking, Willie, nobody had a vaccine. Now 200 million Americans do, and we're seeing this push of demand, and that's pushing up pricing.
So it's all rosy, right? I mean, that's basically nothing to see here. Don't complain about the insanely high prices. Just pay them. Just pay them. Keep in mind that Stephanie Ruhle's a millionaire. But I love, you know, at the beginning there, the grin that she's got on as Willie's introducing her. And it's not just the hello and I'm smiling and happy to be here grin. It continues on as she describes the inflation. And then she says, let's put it in perspective. Yeah, let's do put it in perspective. This is really, really bad. Our economy is in tatters during the holiday season. And that doesn't really matter. You can take that part out. It's the fact that it is in general matters. But it goes again to show that people don't really care about you. The elite really don't. They're not going to take any credit for creating this disastrous situation, but they're not going to apologize either. They're just not. And you know why? Because Stephanie, she's fine. And they don't mind that it affects you. They're just saying, go along with it. We'll figure it out later, but we don't really care if we do. That's what we're up against, folks. All right, real quick, hit that like button. Click subscribe on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. If you're listening on a podcast, we'd be so grateful if you'd go over and give us a favorable review. It helps us a lot in terms of the algorithm, the rankings, all of that stuff. But please do hit that like button wherever you are. And then right now, do you and your family have a self-defense plan? Because you should. And you need to go to uscca.com/Drew to claim a free concealed carry and family defense guide from the USCCA. Inside, you'll learn about self-defense weapons, criminal behavior patterns, family defense plans, school shootings, even navigating the court systems after a shooting or after having to use your weapon in defense. It's so important to have this life-saving education and training before something happens, guys. Key part, know what's going to go on, know all the process, all the procedures before. Again, don't miss out on the opportunity to get this crucial information for free. Again, you can go and get yours at uscca.com/Drew. Then pray for Kenosha, right? Pray for Kenosha because, you know, much of the country, and not more than just Kenosha, much of the country, you know, all the different cities, we've had threats of violence in New York and all over. But pray for them because today closing arguments are happening now. And then you're going to have jury deliberations in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And he's facing 6 total charges, 5 felonies, 1 misdemeanor. Felony charges are intentional homicide, reckless homicide, attempted intentional homicide, and 2 counts of reckless endangerment. The misdemeanor charges underage possession of a deadly weapon. So, and it's been an interesting case. And again, we're not going to dive into, I know that you guys have wanted to, I haven't, dove into this because I really want to see where this goes. And it's purely speculative. Anything that I can say or you can say is just speculation at this point. But what we can say is that Bruce Schrader, Judge Schrader, has gotten pissed at the prosecution several times, sent the jury out of the courtroom several times. And they've kind of really shot themselves in the foot. And it appears like things have gone, I would say, pretty well for Rittenhouse. Now, jury bias, where these people came in, what they were thinking before, all that's, you know, TBD. We don't really know. But it's been an interesting case, and it's one that, in the end, Rittenhouse should be acquitted. And he should sue the living crap out of people for smearing and slandering him. But regardless of how it goes, there's going to be problems. We'll cover it and discuss it as it happens, but it's going to be an interesting day. Some of you are probably watching it now as the show's going on. But it's just going to be an interesting day. But moving on, because we'll circle back on that. And I hate to use that term, sorry to go Jen Psaki on you. But Kenosha is not the only place that there's problems. More and more reports continue to leak out of the White House showing that things between Team Biden and Team Cam are not so good. Apparently Cam feels left out, unprotected, underappreciated, all those things, which I'm guessing is probably because they've, you know, determined that she's worthless, which she is. But this wasn't, I'll read it. This was specifically from a CNN report. Quote, worn out by what they see as entrenched dysfunction and lack of focus, key West Wing aides have largely thrown up their hands at Vice President Kamala Harris and her staff, deciding there simply isn't time to deal with them right now, especially at a moment when President Joe Biden faces quickly multiplying legislative and political concerns. The exasperation runs both ways. Interviews with nearly 3 dozen former and current Harris aides, administration officials, Democratic operatives, donors, outside advisors who spoke extensively to CNN reveal a complex reality inside the White House. Many in the vice president's circle fume that she's not being adequately prepared or positioned and instead is being sidelined. The vice president herself has told several confidants that she feels constrained in what she's able to do politically, and those around her remain very wary of even hinting at future political ambitions, with Biden's team highly attuned to signs of disloyalty, particularly from the vice president. So all this is going on. And as this happens, and we've heard these reports before, we've talked about these reports before, the White House is working overtime to say, okay, how the hell do we spin this? We can't, you know, we love trying to paint this picture that everything's rosy, which is getting harder and harder to do with how bad things are in the country. And then how do we paint this as rosy and not true? And basically, you had them all just come out and start tweeting stuff. So Jen Psaki came out and tweeted, for anyone who needs to hear it, the vice president is not only a vital partner for the president, but a bold leader who has taken on key important challenges facing the country, from voting rights to addressing root causes of migration to expanding broadband. You had Ron Klain and others chime in too. And what was basically clearly a, hey, you know, everyone tweet something nice about Kamala, that ought to fix it, kind of a plan. That was basically their effort. Showing once again the Democrats don't really get real life and real people. And I'm not saying that Kamala fits into the real people, real life category. She doesn't. But their efforts and their response fits with them perfectly. And it shows who they are. But it's because of stuff like that, their approach to governing and relations with people that gave the GOP Virginia. We got a huge win because of it. It's because of stuff like that that almost gave us New Jersey. And it's because of stuff like that that leads to stuff like this. As Biden hits new lows with his ratings, we talked about that last week. 38%. 38% approval rating. Experts are saying that the GOP has the biggest lead heading into midterms that the country has seen in 40 years. According to a new ABC News, Washington Post survey, Republican congressional candidates hold their largest lead over voter preference heading into a midterm election year since 1981, when Ronald Reagan was president. The poll discovered that among registered voters in the U.S., the current preference is Republicans over Democrats by a whopping 10 points, 51% to 41%. They went on to explain the significance of the finding, which I'll read here. You can find this article, I think, on Breitbart. That's the biggest lead for Republicans in 110 ABC/Post polls that have asked this question since November 1981. Indeed, it's only the second time the GOP has held a statistically significant advantage. The other was plus 7 in January of 2002, and the 9th time it held a numerical edge at all. So while this discovery comes about 1 year, I mean, we've got about a year, right, until midterms, The current state of the Democratic Party is in tatters. Voter sentiment toward Democrats suggests that they've got a huge uphill battle coming their way for the House and the Senate. So we've got a long way to go as a country and as a GOP, no doubt, and expect nonsense along the way. Expect some distractions, some twists and turns from the Democrats as we get closer to the midterms. But if we stay on track, we are in really good position right now. Really good position. And it's not all because of efforts on our side. There's a lot of stuff we have not done. We could have seized the opportunity and done more. But we have done some good things. And moreover, the Democrats just keep shooting themselves in the foot. And I know that some of you right now are saying, yeah, but, what's it matter? What's Virginia matter? What's, you know, the sentimental win, even though it was a loss in New Jersey matter, if we don't fix the elections? And you're right. You're right. But we have 18 states, guys. I've told you about this before. We're going to actually get into it on the other side. But we've got 18 states that have made changes this year to their election laws and are pushing back and are going to help us, hopefully in a big way. We'll get into those states, what they are, what they did on the other side. Stick around. Hey guys, are you getting the best night's sleep of your life? Because if not, you need to head on over to MyPillow.com and support a great American company that supports this show. You can get mattresses, mattress toppers, pillows, blankets, pajamas, dog beds, slippers, you name it, they've got it all, folks. And the best part is you can save up to 66% by using promo code Drew. That's D-R-E-W, promo code Drew at MyPillow.com. Man, we have a lot of serious problems in the world. Some are outside of our control, and some are very much within. And one that you can control without a shadow of a doubt is what's happening south of your border. And I'm not talking about the southwest border. I'm talking about your junk. And UFM Underwear for Men has the solution. Most men's underwear these days don't provide actual support. They just smash your goods against your thigh, resulting in sweating, sticking, rubbing, all sorts of nasty stuff. Ladies, don't act like you haven't seen your man try to navigate his way out of such awkward situations. It's no good for anyone. But the good news is UFM's patented pouch system eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions, all because of their unique drawstring adjustable support pouch, which allows you to increase the support to your preference, and it provides actual support. What a novel concept. Just think of it like social distancing, but in your pants. UFM moves with your body so you can go from one activity to the next without a second thought. They're great for sports, work, everyday use, and even some medical applications as well. So support your manhood, treat yourself right. You deserve it, men. Go to UFMunderwear.com, use promo code Drew to get $6 off.
With Big Tech's rampant hatred for conservative thought and their devious suppression tactics, Drew and This Is My Show is staring down uncertainty like never before. You can support the show by continuing to listen, watch, engage, and share. And you can play an even bigger role by donating to the show. You can do so directly at DrewBerquist.com, then click support. Any amount is helpful in our fight with big tech, and individuals that hit certain thresholds will be given producer credits on This Is My Show episodes. Again, that's DrewBerquist.com, then click support and get engaged with the fight. He served his country fighting extremists overseas and now exposes radical democratic extremists right here at home. This is Drew Berquist, and this is his show.
All right, so we have to fix how we do elections. Right, totally. We absolutely do. It's talked about all the time. It's a comment. It's a concern of you guys. It's a concern of me and my family, my friends, and my community as well, of course. So we've got to do that. We've got to shore up election integrity. We've got to shore up election security. All of that stuff, or nothing matters. All of those points are true. And thankfully, there are states that are actively doing so. And we talk all the time, guys, about how important it is to fix things on the local level, the state level, to make local sexy. And people are thankfully doing it. Some of it with more fanfare like Georgia than others. Some of it with not much at all. But according to the Brennan Center, 18 revised state election laws could be the most successful bills since 14 states passed election measures 10 years ago. They said, quote, the United States is on track to far exceed its most recent period of significant voter suppression in 2011. Now, understand where they're coming from with this report and this review. But let's look at what comes out of it, what benefits the country, and what benefits, you know, I would say both parties, but particularly the GOP. And here's an overview of state election reforms that passed so far this year. And there's some states that, keep in mind, maybe you weren't as concerned about. That's fine. But also keep in mind with that same line of thinking that people are going to focus on the six key states from last year and say, okay, we got to watch them. And while we're watching them, don't be surprised if the Democrats try some shenanigans elsewhere. So you got to do things across the board. But in Alabama, a new Alabama law prohibits curbside voting and requires that applications for absentee ballots be received no less than 10 days before Election Day. Okay? Feeling pretty safe in Alabama in the first place, but again, you never know. You never know. So good. Arkansas, new Arkansas law requires voters who cast provisional ballots to show ID by noon. That's racist, showing ID, but you've got to do it by noon on the Monday after Election Day. These voters previously had only signed a sworn statement saying it was them. A separate law in Arkansas puts stricter limits on ballot harvesting, the practice in which political operatives distribute and collect large quantities of absentee ballots. It also prohibits election officials from distributing unsolicited applications for absentee ballots. Then in Arizona, obviously Arizona, a key state, a state that's still kind of in contention. Secretary of State, this new law requires the Secretary of State to compare death records with statewide voter registration databases. Another law enhances the security of voting machines. So there's some things happening there. They also joined the trend among states by banning private money to pay for election administration. This is largely in response to Zuckerbucks and what Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg did in a lot of states across the country last year. And then the Arizona law will require that names of inactive voters are removed from early voting lists if they haven't voted in two consecutive election cycles. So there's another one that voters have to sign the envelope in which they submit an absentee ballot. Point being, in Arizona, there are things moving. There is progress happening. It's going to be enough? I don't know. But there's stuff happening. Then in Florida, a new Florida law restricts ballot harvesting by allowing someone to collect absentee ballots from immediate family members, but no more than two ballots from others. Besides banning private funding of election administration, the law requires voters to request an absentee ballot in order to receive one. It also increases security for ballot drop boxes, which debuted in the 2020 election because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And those drop boxes are huge. And again, with all this conversation that you hear with absentee ballots and voting by mail, remember there is a key distinction between universal mail-in ballots and absentee ballots. And a lot of it has to do with identification, how you request it, how you prove who you are for using that. So we won Florida pretty soundly this last time, and based on voter registration, and it would seem that things are going to go well for us. But again, you still got to make progress. You still got to prepare for the future and make sure that things are secure. So good on DeSantis and continuing to win there. Georgia law, among the most controversial, of course. We've talked about it a lot. We don't need to get into it. That basically says you have to have voter ID to request or cast an absentee ballot. Common sense stuff. Caused a huge uproar. Caused companies to wade into politics, all sorts of stuff. Obviously, you know, again, I'm not going to go into the Georgia one because we've discussed it a lot. But they made some key changes there. Idaho. Idaho is one of the key states that responded to Zuckerberg's big spending. And they're pushing back against that. There's a new bill, SB 1168, which requires that all state elections be funded only by appropriations from federal, state, or local government entities. Indiana pushing back with their bill, 398, which prohibits local election jurisdictions from accepting or spending funds that come from private donors for the purpose of running elections. That, of course, you know, lots of states pushing back against Zuckerbucks. So a lot of this private funding is going away. Then Iowa. A new law in Iowa, battleground state. Recent presidential elections required absentee ballots to arrive at election offices by the close of election day to be counted. The measure allows fewer early voting days, dropping the total from 29 to 20. So they're pushing back there in terms of the timing, how things go there. Again, not super concerned about Iowa, but it's important. Kansas, new law in Kansas curbs ballot harvesting by limiting to 10 the number of ballots one person may return to an election office, which still seems high to me, but they're coming down, they're moving the right way. The Republican-controlled legislature voted in May to override a veto of the measure by Governor Lori Kelly, Laura Kelly, a Democrat. Kentucky. Kentucky's new law increases security for absentee ballots and requires a paper trail for voting machines. It also sets up an online portal for absentee ballot requests and adds 3 days to in-person early voting, up from the previous 19-day limit. So that was all good. Louisiana's new law, known as HB 167, establishes a procedure for election officials to remove dead voters from registration rolls. That seems logical. The fact that we have to get bills through to say, oh, we should probably take the dead people off is a problem, but at least they're doing it. So they have to do it within 30 days of receipt of the death certificate in the case of Louisiana. Montana's new law requires voters at the polls to present either a state driver's license, a tribal photo identification card, a state ID card, or military ID, i.e., show us who you are and you can vote. If you don't, you can't. Common sense, I know, but had to be put in. Other laws there that changed is they're closing voter registration at noon the day before an election. They're restricting paid ballot collectors and allow local election officials to reduce hours at polling locations with fewer than 400 registered voters who will cast ballots in person as long as other polling places are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. So we're getting a little bit into the weeds there. But Nevada, a measure signed into law by Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak, a Democrat, increases the maximum size of an election precinct from 3,000 to 5,000 registered voters. New Hampshire, a new law in New Hampshire, is the only state in New England to pass election reform this year, requires that the Secretary of State provide information on matches of death records against voter checklists. Another law requires that those who register to vote on election day by using a voter affidavit or sworn statement must also have a photo taken beforehand. So that's again, common sense, showing ID or showing some form of hey, validation of who you are. The Brennan Center, who put this report out again, who kind of skewed it, we're seeing the benefits of this report. They kind of skewed it, say that this is another thing that's restricting access to vote. It's not. It's just common sense. Oklahoma, a new law in Oklahoma sets a 30-day limit for county election boards to remove dead voters from its registration list. Another law both expands early in-person voting and requires applications for absentee ballots to be received no later than 5 p.m. on the third Monday preceding an election. Another law, third one that they passed there, allows the state election board to participate in multi-state organizations that maintain voter lists, such as nonprofit electronic registration information center. Texas. Again, you could say we don't need it in Texas. Beto, by the way, did you see Beto finally dropped a video for his 2022 gubernatorial run? The new Texas law, though, extends early voting hours, prohibits election clerks from mailing out an application for an absentee ballot unless a voter requests one, which is how it's supposed to go, and bans drive-through voting. The measure also requires voter ID for mail-in ballots and safeguards for poll watchers. The Texas Secretary of State also is supposed to use specifics on a driver's license to verify the accuracy of citizenship status information previously provided on voter registration applications. Utah's new law, known as HB 12, requires that the names of dead voters be removed from the rolls and assign the state's lieutenant governor to enforce it. Again, this... The Brennan Center, who put out this report, this is from an article that I'm reading here, but the Brennan Center, who put out this report, said that that was problematic and that the law of removing dead people was called a purge by them. They're purging the voter list, yes, of dead people. Dead people who should not be on there and should not have the opportunity to vote. I know dead people love to vote Democrat, but come on, we got to get them off there. Then Wyoming, a new Wyoming law requires voters to show ID to vote in person. Acceptable forms of ID include a driver's license, state or tribal ID, a passport, a military ID, or one from a Wyoming public school, university, or community college. So 18 states, guys. So I bring all this up. You know, some of that, you know, very in the weeds, legal mumbo jumbo. All of it common sense, though. Most of it dealing with private money coming into the state. Most of it dealing with voter ID. Important issues. So I bring it all up because we are making some big gains, and we're making some big gains not because the GOP is perfect. Man, we're further from perfect, I think, than we've ever been on our side of the aisle. But we're making some gains because people are waking up to who the Democrats are, what they want for this country, where they're trying to take us. And people are saying, no. We might not even be Republican. We might not like Republicans, but we don't like what you're doing either. And something has to change. And that is why you're seeing these historically low figures for Biden and Harris. That is why our country is going down this awful path, is their policies, and people are saying, we don't want to go there. So we say, okay, because of all that, we should fix things with the midterms. We should fix things in 2024, and by all means, we should. If you can't beat the other team when they're getting their ass kicked like this and they're down, there's a problem. But one of the problems that we've faced is after 2020, okay, well, how do we know that things are going to work, that the election is going to be fair, that it's going to go the right way? And we can't know, and we probably never can know again, that it's going to go well and be safe and secure and fair and all those things, which, again, both sides should want. Why only one side wants that is befuddling to me. But we should all want that. And we should feel a little bit better with this list of 18 states that we just talked about that are making changes. Would it be great to see more changes in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania? Hell yeah, of course. And they're working on it. Maybe they go through, maybe they don't. But we've got at least 18 states so far that have done things to protect things, shore things up further in the case of some conservative states. States that are kind of, you know, ebbing and flowing between, you know, red and blue, like Arizona, who's trying to go blue and needs some more things put in place there. It's been done. There's plenty of things to be happy about in that list. Again, and I'm not saying, hey, we did it, we made it, we're there, we've fixed things, it's going to be better now. No. But I am saying have hope, keep pushing ahead. I am saying keep voting, keep showing up like people did in Virginia and turn the tides. And keep supporting your state legislator. And if you don't support your state legislators, then go become a state legislator. And keep fighting for this country, because we got to do it on the state level. We got to do it on the local level. And there's 18 states at least. There's more working on it that have done some big things that are going to help moving forward. Now we got to keep those people in office so they don't get flipped. So they don't get, you know, unwritten. Get those, you know, we can't have those bills go the wrong way or go upside down. We need them to stay in place. We need to add on to them. Election security, election identification, all of those things are not radical. They are not suppressing the vote. They are not Jim Crow 2.0. They are none of these things. They are fair and equitable, and that's what everyone should want. And I hope that we can continue to go that direction as a country. Because honestly, if we had fair and equitable elections, and we've quote-unquote had them before. I've never trusted this government, but we've quote-unquote had them before. If we lose one in a fair battle, then I don't feel as bad about it. If it's transparent and clear and we know, hey, a bunch of dead people didn't vote, a bunch of shenanigans didn't happen at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden a huge lead was turned into a crushing defeat, then that's a different story. You should be able to say, okay, you know what? We lost this one. Let's play better next time and try and win. But you can't do that if you don't have reasonable laws in place. You don't have people using identification to vote. You don't have all these things. So, again, kudos to the 18 states who have done it. Kudos to the ones who are trying. Let us know how we can support you. And hopefully we can continue to go down this path and just keep burying this Democrat Party who wants to bury you, who wants to bury this country, because they need to be. They need to be put out of business. All right, folks, that's all we got for today. Reminder, we are off Thursday and Friday. We'll be handling some other issues, but we are here tomorrow. We are here Wednesday. We look forward to spending time with you. We'll try and maybe make Wednesday kind of a booze and banter-ish show just so we get that in this week. So look forward to that. We'll give you some more information on it. In the meantime, be safe, be smart, be free.